We present Watto Jeeves by P.G. Wodehouse. Starring Michael Horden as Jeeves and Richard Briers as Bertie Wooster in Joy in the Morning, with Peter Woodthorpe as Percy Lord Worplesdon, Jonathan Cecil as Boko Fittleworth, and Denise Brier as Edwin the Boy Scout. Episode 3, Tribulations of an Uncle by Marriage.
When Percival, Lord Worplesdon, second husband of my Aunt Agatha, had instructed me to take up residence in Steeple Bumpley, Hants, so that he could use my cottage, Wee Nook, for secret business meetings, my spine, and I do not attempt to conceal the fact, had become soluble in the last degree. The thought of lodging, even for a brief space, within Uncle Percy's zone of influence, had set the flesh creeping briskly. For he was hot stuff, this Worplesdon, a moustachioed old buzzard with a temper like that of a tiger which has just seen its peasant shin up a tree. Given the choice between him and a hippogriff as a companion for a walking tour, I would have picked the hippogriff every time. However, once my occupancy in Wee Nook had been deemed unavoidable by Jeeves, I resolved to keep the lip stiff and upper and make the best of things. I arrived at the cottage, accordingly, in reasonably bobbish mood, only to be plunged down again among the wines and spirits on finding Edwin, the boy scout, old Worplesdon's son by his first marriage and one of our vilest citizens, trying to clear a blocked chimney. Well, I retreated to the garden for a gasper. 10 seconds later, I heard a loud explosion, and turning, saw that Wee Nook had gone up in flames. It gave me quite a start. Well, everybody enjoys a good fire, of course. And for a while it was in a purely detached and appreciative spirit that I stood eyeing the holocaust. Then, putting a bit of a damper on the festivities, there came floating into my mind a rather disturbing thought, to wit, that the last I had seen of young Edwin, he'd been seeping back into the kitchen. It was clearly one of those situations where noblesse more or less obliges, and so, without more ado, I plunged into the inferno, unfortunately spoiling my dramatic rescue act by tripping over the front step.
Dash it! Dash it! Edwin! Where are you? Edwin!
Ah, there you are. You all right?
Ha! Of course I'm all right! Cool! Bit of a bust-up, wasn't it?
Bust-up? What the diggers have you been playing at, you abysmal young louse? What was that explosion?
That was the kitchen chimney. It was full of soot, so I shoved some gunpowder up it. I think I may have used too much, though, because there was a terrific bang and everything sort of caught fire. Cool! Didn't half make me laugh!
Oh, my golly, why didn't you pour water on the flame?
Oh, I did, only it turned out to be paraffin.
Paraffin? You pie-faced little snurge! This cottage is meant to be Worcester GHQ, look at it!
Sorry, Bertie, it didn't quite work out the way I meant, but I wanted to do my last Friday's act of kindness.
Ah, now I understand. Your daily act of kindness. Dropped behind schedule again, have you?
Well, yes. I say, shall I go and get the fire brigade?
If you wish, but all the fire brigades in Hampshire would prevent this Bally Museum piece winding up as a heap of ashes now.
Oh, I'll go the back way.
Righto, I think I'll saunter outside too. This is like sitting to leeward of Cat's Meat Potter Purbright when he's enjoying one of those cigars of his. Oh, my golly. Oh, no. Uncle Percy. Hello, Uncle Percy. Good afternoon, good afternoon.
What?
There's been a fire.
What do you mean?
Well, a fire.
What?
You know, a fire.
What?
A conflagration. Take a look at it.
What?
That's what I mean. Yes, got it in one. A fire. In short, your cottage is being fried to a crisp. Well, 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 too bad. But turning to other matters, how are you, Uncle Percy? You're looking fine.
Fine. I might have known. My best friend should have warned me what would come of letting a lunatic like you would loosen the place. I ought to have guessed that the first thing you do before so much as unpacking would be to set the whole damn premises ablaze.
Not me, Edwin.
Edwin? My son?
Yes, I know, too bad. Yes, he's your son, all right. He's been tidying up.
You can't start a fire by tidying up.
You can if you use gunpowder.
Gunpowder?
He appears to have touched off a keg or two in the kitchen chimney to correct a disposition on its part to harbour soot.
Why the devil did you give the boy gunpowder?
Well, I didn't give the boy gunpowder.
A congenital idiot would give a boy gunpowder. There's not a man in England except you wouldn't know what would happen if you gave a boy gunpowder. I suppose it never occurred to you to throw water on the flames.
It did to Edwin, only he used paraffin.
Paraffin? You tried to put the fire out with paraffin? You ought to be certified. And as soon as I can collect a couple of doctors, I'll have it seen to.
No, no, Edwin.
You ought not to be at large.
No, no, Uncle Percy, you don't understand.
Send James along to me at the MMGRA.
Yes, Uncle Percy, but...
Yeah, I wish I were 10 years younger and had a hunting crop with me. Gunpowder. Have you? Yeah.
And with that, the old ass withdrew, leaving me to my meditations, which, as you may suppose, were not of the juiciest. However, they didn't last long, for I don't suppose I'd been meditating more than a couple of minutes when a wheezing, rattling sound made itself heard off stage, and there entered, left upper centre, a vehicle which could only have been a station taxi. There was luggage on it, and Jeeves was protruding from the side window. The weird old object, the cab, I mean, not Jeeves, came to a halt at the gate. Jeeves paid it off, the luggage was dumped at the roadside, and I got right down to things in the old Worcester way. Jeeves, you notice our little home has been gutted.
Yes, sir. I was just observing it.
Edwin did that. There's a lad, Jeeves. There's a boy who makes you feel that what this country wants is somebody like King Herod. You understand what this means, of course. He's properly put the kibosh on the trysting place of Uncle Percy and his nautical pal. If the merger of the two shipping lines is to go through, you'll have to think again.
Yes, sir. His lordship is fully alive to the fact that in the existing circumstances, a meeting at Wee Nook will not be feasible.
You've seen him, then?
He was emerging from the lane as I entered it, sir.
Did he tell you he wants to go and hobnob with him at your earliest convenience?
Yes, sir. Indeed, he insists on my taking up residence at the Hall.
Was I invited?
No, sir.
Oh, well, I hadn't expected to be. We part, then, for the nonce, do we?
I fear so, sir.
You taking the high road and self taking the low road, as it were?
Yes, sir.
I shall miss you, Jeeves.
Thank you, sir.
Who was the chap who was always beefing about losing gazelles?
Yeah, the poet Moore, sir. He complained that he had never nursed a dear gazelle to glad him with its soft black eye. But when it came to know him well and love him, it was sure to die.
It's the same with me. I am a gazelle short. You don't mind me alluding to you as a gazelle, Jean?
Not at all, sir.
Well, that's that, then. I suppose I better go and stay with Boko.
I was about to suggest it, sir. I am sure Mr. Fittleworth will be most happy to accommodate you.
I think so. I hope so. When I popped into his cottage half an hour ago, he was speaking about killing fatted calves. Incidentally, Jeeves, there have been disturbing developments on the Boko Fittleworth Uncle Percy front since I last saw you.
Indeed, sir.
Miss Hopwood asked the former to give the latter lunch today in the hope that it might sweeten the old buster. In an attempt to be bright and genial, Boko, the silly ass, made even more of a silly ass of himself than usual and sprang assorted joke goods on Uncle Percy.
Joke goods, sir?
E.g., the surprise salt shaker. you joggle it, and out comes a spider.
A spider? I see, sir.
Quite. Well, as a result, of course, Boko has alienated Uncle Percy still further, and not a smell of a guardian's blessing is the latter prepared to give him a nobby. When I left him, he was writing a grovelling letter of apology to the old boy. So you see, Jeeves, it is vital that this meeting with the old salt from America takes place at the earliest possible date.
In order that his lordship may be brought to a more amiable frame of mind, sir.
Exactly. If that merger comes off, the milk of human kindness will slosh about in him like the rising tide, swamping all animosity. Or don't you think so?
Undoubtedly, in my opinion, sir.
That's what I felt. That's why you found me moody just now, Jeeves. I just concluded an unpleasant interview with Uncle Percy, in the course of which he came out openly as not one of my admirers. But the point is, I promised both Nobby and Boko to plead with him on their behalf, and now my potentialities in that direction have become greatly diminished. Considered as a pleader, I am not the force I was, so push that meeting along.
I will certainly use every endeavour, sir. I fully appreciate the situation.
Right, now what else have I got to tell you? Oh, my gosh, yes! I was forgetting. You know the brooch.
Sir?
Aunt Agatha's birthday present for Lady Florence.
Yes, sir.
I lost it. I tripped over a pail and it flew out of my pocket.
You mean...
It's all right. I found it again. But what I mean is, picture my embarrassment. My heart stood still.
I can readily imagine it, sir. But you have it safely now.
Or rather not. Jeeves. You will scarcely credit this, Jeeves, but the belly thing has gone again.
This is a serious disaster, sir.
You're informing me, Jeeves.
Her ladyship will be vexed.
I can picture her screaming with annoyance.
Can you think where you could have dropped it, sir?
That's just what I'm trying to do. Now, wait, Jeeves, let me brood. Oh, my gosh.
Sir?
When I dashed in to rescue young blighted Edwin from the funeral pyre, I took a purler over the front step and landed halfway down the front hall. The parcel must have shot out of my pocket again.
Then it would still be in the hall, sir.
Yes. And take a look at the hall. Only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would go in there with any genuine enjoyment. No, Jeeves, no hope of getting it now, even if it is there.
No, sir.
Well, then what's to be done?
as soon as Aunt Agatha returns and is informed of the facts, you'll be on the warpath. Have you no ideas, Jeeves?
Yes, sir.
Yes?
I think I have hit on quite a simple solution to your difficulty, sir.
Then let me have it, Jeeves, and speedily.
What I would suggest, sir, is that I take the car, drive to London, call at the Emporium where her ladyship made her purchase, and procure another brooch in place of the one that is missing.
You mean put on an understudy?
Yes.
Delivering it to the addressee as the original?
Yeah, precisely, sir.
Well, will it work? I mean, is one brooch just like another brooch?
Not invariably, sir. But a few words of inquiry will enable me to obtain a description of the lost trinket and to ascertain the price which her ladyship paid for it. I shall thus be enabled to return with something virtually indistinguishable from the original.
A winner, G.
Thank you, sir.
Rem... what is it again?
Acutetigus, dear, sir.
I might have known that you would find the way.
I'm gratified to feel that I enjoy your confidence, sir.
I have an account at Aspinall, so you can tell them to chalk it up on the slate.
Very good, sir.
Buzz off instanter.
There is ample time, sir. I shall be able to reach London long before the establishment closes for the day. Before proceeding thither, I think it would be best for me to stop at Mr. Fittleworth's residence, apprise him of what has occurred, deposit the luggage, and warn him of your coming.
Is warn the word?
Inform. I should have said, sir.
Well, don't cut it too fine. The sands are running out, remember. That brooch must be lying alongside Florence's plate at the dinner table tonight.
Very good, sir.
The Florence alluded to in the recent scene was, as those of you who have followed this narrative from its inception will know, Lady Florence Cray, old Worplestone's daughter via his first marriage, and thus young Edwin's elder sister. She was a tall, earnest female of commanding aspect and considerable profile, and not long before I'd been briefly engaged to her. Shortly afterwards, she'd become affianced to my old pal, Boko Fittleworth, but that too had blown a fuse. Boko, of course, was now engaged to Zenobia Nobby Hopwood, old Worplestone's ward, and Florence had subsequently transferred her affections to G. Darcy Stilton Cheesewright, another old friend, and at present the Steeple Bumpley village constable. I'd run into Stilton shortly before arriving at Wee Nook, and a painful interview had taken place. Now, as I strolled along to Boko's residence, I saw Nobby approaching. I hastened to meet her.
Hello, Nobby.
What have you been doing to inflame Stilton, Bertie? I met him just now and asked if he'd seen you, and he turned vermilion and gnashed every tooth in his head. I don't think I've ever seen a more incandescent copper.
He didn't explain?
No. He simply pedalled on furiously, as if he had been competing in a 6-day bicycle race and had just realised he was dropping behind the leaders. What was the trouble?
Owing to an unfortunate concatenation of circumstances, Stilton has got the idea rooted in his bean that I've come down here to try to steal Florence from him. He finally reached a condition of so much Fahrenheit while we were talking that I was surprised he didn't run me in on the spot and put gyves on my wrists like Eugene Aram. I don't know if you remember the passage. Titum, 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 mist. I think it's mist. And Eugene Aram walked between with gyves upon his wrist. Incidentally, in that connection, you might have told me he was a village bluebottle.
I forgot to.
It would have spared me a very disconcerting shock. When I saw him cycling towards me in helmet, uniform and regulation beetle crushers, I nearly got the vapors.
Poor old Stilton. I think it's rather sporting of him wanting to earn his living.
What do you mean?
He's got an uncle who wants him to stand for Parliament and is prepared to pay all his expenses and finance him generously for the rest of his life. But he simply looks mulish and says he wants to earn his living as a cop. Even Florence can't budge him, which is rather funny, because it was she who turned his thoughts in that direction. She talked socialism to him and made him read Karl Marx. Oh, she's furious with him now, of course, says he was a fool to take her seriously.
Furious with him?
Oh, yes. I got the impression last night that she was within a toucher of giving him the raspberry and returning the ring and presents.
You don't mean that, Nobby. Oh, my God, can't you spot the frightful menace?
You mean if she breaks it off with Stilton, she may consider taking you on again?
That's exactly what I mean. The peril is appalling. Owing to another unfortunate concatenation of circs, my stock has recently gone up with her to a fearful extent, and anything may happen at any moment.
Do you know, Bertie, I've often thought that of all the multitude Florence has been engaged to, you were the one she really wanted.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's your fault for being so fascinating.
I dare say, but too late to do anything about that now.
Still, I don't see what you've got to worry about. If she proposes to you, just blush a little and smile tremulously and say, I'm sorry, so, so sorry. You have paid me the greatest compliment a woman can pay a man, but it cannot be. So shall we be pals? Just real pals. That'll fix her.
It won't do anything of the sort. You know what Florence is like. Propose, forsooth. She'll just notify me that the engagement is on again, like a governess telling her young charge to eat his spinach. And if you think I've got the force of character to come back with a nolle prosequi...
With a what?
One of Jeeves's gags. It means roughly nuts to you. If, I say, you think I'm capable of asserting myself and giving her the bird, you greatly overestimate the Worcester fortitude. She must be reconciled with Stilton. It's the only way. Now, listen, Nobby, listen. I wrote you a letter yesterday giving my views on Florence and urging you to employ every means in your power to open Stilton's eyes to what he was in for. What I want to say is, pay no attention to that letter. I am now wholeheartedly in favour of the match. The wish to save Stilton has left me. The chap I have my eye on for saving purposes is B. Worcester. When chatting with Florence, therefore, boost Stilton in every possible way, all right?
I'll do what I can. And now, Bertie, let us go and rout Boko out. I'm dying to hear what happened at lunch.
Oh, righto, at lunch, yes. With Uncle Percy, you mean? Yes. Righto.
Yoo-hoo, darling!
Hello, darling! Hello, darling. Just roughing out a morsel.
Oh, Angel, have we interrupted the flow?
Not at all. Not at all.
I was so anxious to hear how the lunch went off.
The lunch? Oh, the lunch, yes. Well, it was a great success.
Darling!
Yes, a notable success. I think I've made an excellent start.
Were you bright?
Very bright.
And genial?
The word understates it.
Angel!
Yes, I think I've got old Worplesdon on the run. I believe he's weakening, as I told Bertie earlier.
Oh, quite.
What did you talk about?
Oh, this and that. The subject of spiders, I remember, was one that came up.
Spiders?
He seemed interested in spiders.
I never knew that.
Oh, just a side of his character which he hasn't happened to reveal to you, I suppose. And then, of course, after talking of this and that, we talked of that and this.
There weren't any awkward pauses.
I didn't notice any. No, he prattled on, as 'twere, especially towards the end.
Then everything's fine.
Splendid.
All we need now is for Bertie to do his act.
Exactly. The future hinges on Bertie.
When he pleads.
Ah, now, I didn't quite mean that. I doubt it'd be any good for Bertie to plead now. Jeeves tells me that due to the recent conflagration at Wee Nook, his name's become Mud. Correct, Bertie?
Absolutely, Mud. I should find it difficult now to sway Uncle Percy like a reed. Sorry.
Oh, no. Then where are we?
We're all right, Nobby. Don't you worry.
But if Bertie can't plead...
Ah, but you're forgetting how versatile he is. What you're overlooking is the scullery window-breaking side of his nature. That's what's going to see us through. Brooding... Don't interrupt, Bertie. Brooding tensely over this business, I have had an idea, and it is a pippin. Suppose, I said to myself, I were to save the heavy's home from being looted by a midnight marauder. That would make him feel I had the right stuff in me, I fancy. He'd say, egad, a fine young fellow this Fittleworth, would he not?
I suppose so, yes.
You speak doubtfully.
Well, there hasn't been a burglary in Steeple Bumpley for centuries.
Well, these things can be arranged. There's going to be a burglary in Steeple Bumpley this very night. Bertie will attend to it.
Hey!
Here, in a nutshell, is the scheme I have evolved. Somewhere, in the small hours, Bertie and I make our way to the hall. We approach the scullery window... Bertie busts it.
No, but dash it.
I raise the alarm. He pops off.
Oh, that's more like it.
While I stay on to accept the plaudits of all and be fawned on. I don't see how I can fail. Before the night's out, I expect to have my Lord Worplesdon promising to dance at our wedding.
Darling, that's wonderful. Oh.
Boko, I don't know if you happen to know what the words nolle prosequi mean.
So everything depends on Bertie.
Everything.
You don't think he'll object?
Boko.
I wish you wouldn't say things like that. You'll hurt his feelings. You don't realise the sort of fellow Bertie is. His nerve is like chilled steel. And when it's a question of helping a pal, he sticks at nothing.
Boko.
He's wonderful, isn't he?
He stands alone.
I've always been devoted to Bertie. When I was a child, he once gave me 3 pennyworth of acid drops.
Nobby.
Generous to a fault, you see. These splendid fellows always are.
How I admired him.
Me too. I don't know a man I admire more.
Boko. Doesn't he remind you rather of Sir Galahad?
The name was on the tip of my tongue.
Of course he wouldn't dream of not doing his bit.
Of course not. All settled. Eh, Bertie?
Bertie?
What? Oh, rather. Absolutely.
The word of a Worcester had been pledged, but not blithely, not with any real chirpiness. And this shortage of sea, I must confess, continued to make its presence felt right up to the zero hour. As Boko and self passed through the silent gardens of Bumpley Hall just after midnight, I experienced a dry, fluttering feeling in the pit of the stomach, as if I'd swallowed a heaping tablespoonful of butterflies. So pronounced was this sensation, indeed, that I found myself clutching Boko's arm in ill-concealed panic and drawing him beneath a passing tree. Poco! Poco, what about Stilton? Have you considered the Stilton angle? An awful thing to be pinched by a chap you were boys together with.
Nonsense, nonsense. If you're copped, Bertie, just pass it off.
Pass it off?
That's right. Nonchalantly. Right, here we are. Now, got the treacle and brown paper?
Yes, but...
Now, all you have to do is stick the latter to the window with the former, then haul off and bust the glass with a sharp buffet of the fist. Well, come along, then. Smack into it, Bertie. Nerves, eh? Oh, righto. I'll treacle the paper for you. Ah. Ah. Now, onto the window. Now, off you go. Bertie?
Yes, I'm just...
Bertie?
All right. Righto. Here goes. What was that?
Who's there?
The voice of conscience.
Nonsense, Bertie. It's young blasted Edwin. Look, he's poking his foul head out of the window.
Who's there?
Don't tell him.
Are you a burglar? Come on. Are you a burglar?
Cloth-headed kid. What a question.
I can see you.
He's lying. It's too dark.
I can see you, all right. Huh. All right, then.
Ah, he's gone. Attaboy, Bertie. Now let's get back to the task in hand.
What? Now? I can't smash windows with Edwin lurking above.
Why not? He's probably gone back to sleep again already.
Boy Scouts never sleep.
Of course they do. In droves. Besides, if he's on the alert, so much the better. It'll all help when the moment comes for me to put on my act. His story will support mine. Now, I'll give you 5 minutes while I go for a stroll, and then I really must insist on a little action. Got a cigarette?
No.
Then I shall simply have to go on smoking mine. That's what it amounts to. Toodle, Pip.
What's that?
Good evening, sir.
Jeeves.
You're up late, sir?
Yes.
One could scarcely desire more delightful conditions for a nocturnal ramble.
That is your view, is it?
It is indeed, sir. The stars.
Stars?
Yes, sir.
What about them?
I was merely directing your attention to them, sir. Look how the floor of heaven is thick inlaid with patines of bright gold.
Jeeves.
There's not the smallest orb which thou beholdest, sir, but in his motion like an angel sings, still choiring to the young-eyed cherubim.
Jeeves.
Such harmony is in immortal souls, but whilst this muddy vesture of decay doth grossly close it in, we cannot hear it.
Jeeves.
Sir?
You couldn't possibly switch it off, could you?
Certainly, sir, if you wish it.
I'm not in the mood.
Very good, sir.
Do you know why I'm prowling about in this garden?
I was hoping that you might enlighten me, sir.
I am participating in Mr. Fittleworth's latest scheme or ruse for edging his way into Uncle Percy's good books.
Indeed, sir.
Yes. In a moment, I'm going to bust that window. I shall then leg it home. Boko will appear, crying thief, claim he chased me off, and he hopes subsequently scoop in the guardian's blessing.
Indeed, sir. An eccentric young gentleman, Mr. Fittleworth.
Loony to the eyebrows.
The scheme which he has formulated is not, however, without its ingenuity. His lordship would undoubtedly be most grateful to anyone whom he supposed to have foiled a raid on the premises on this particular night. I happen to be aware that, despite her ladyship's repeated instructions to him to attend to the matter, he forgot to post the letter renewing his burglary insurance.
How do you know that?
I heard the facts from his lordship in person, sir. Ascertaining that I was about to drive to London this afternoon, he gave me the communication to dispatch in the metropolitan area so that it should reach its destination tomorrow morning by the first delivery. His emotion, as he urged me not to fail him and alluded to what her ladyship would say if she ever discovered his negligence, was very noticeable. He shook visibly.
What? You don't mean he's scared of Aunt Agatha?
Intensely, sir.
Well, you absolutely astound me. I should have thought that if ever there was a bimbo who was master in his own house, that bimbo was Percival Lord Warbleston.
I'm inclined to doubt whether the gentleman exists who could be master in a home that contained her ladyship, sir.
Perhaps you're right.
Yes, sir.
Then you think this scheme of Boko's will drag home the gravy?
Quite conceivably, sir. On the other hand...
Oh, golly, Jeeves, what's wrong now?
I was merely about to say that Mr. Fittleworth has selected a somewhat unfortunate moment for his enterprise, sir. It tends to clash with his lordship's arrangements.
How do you mean?
Well, by an unfortunate coincidence, his lordship will, in a few moments from now, be proceeding to the potting shed to confer with Mr. Chichester Clam.
Oh, you mean the chap Uncle Percy is trying to get together with, the ancient mariner from America?
Precisely, sir. Owing to the conflagration at Wee Nook, it became necessary to think of some other spot where the two gentlemen could meet and discuss their business without fear of interruption.
And you chose the potting shed?
Yes.
God bless you, Jeeves.
Thank you, sir.
Is this bird in the potting shed now?
I should be disposed to imagine so, sir. The appointment was for half an hour after midnight.
It must be near that now.
Exactly that, sir.
Then Uncle Percy will be manifesting himself at any moment.
If I'm not mistaken, sir, this would be his lordship whom we can hear approaching.
Egad, Jeeves. 'Tis he.
Yes.
Well, I suppose I better pass the time of day. What-ho, what-ho!
What?
Lovely evening, Uncle Percy. Jeeves and I were just talking about the stars. What was it you said about the stars, Jeeves?
I alluded to the fact that there was not the smallest orb which did not sing in its motion like an angel, still choiring to the young-eyed cherubims.
That's right. Worth knowing that, eh, Uncle Percy?
You? What the devil are you doing here?
Just sauntering.
Then go and saunter somewhere else, damn it.
Righto, Uncle Percy.
What's all this, then?
Stilton!
Move over, you blasted booster.
Now, Lord Worplestone, what's all this?
What the devil do you mean, what's all this?
Well,
who the devil are you to come trespassing in May grounds, asking what's all this?
Well,
what's all this yourself?
I...
What are you doing now, you great oaf? I suppose you're just sauntering, too. Good God! What is this place? Piccadilly Circus? Hempstead Heath on a bank holiday? The spot chosen for the annual outing of the police force.
I am sorry.
No use being sorry. Figures not to do it, blast.
To intrude.
Then stomach you.
But I am here in the performance of my duty. I received a telephone call just now, desiring me to proceed to the hall immediately.
Telephone call?
Yes.
Telephone call? Rot. At this time of night? Who telephoned you?
Young Ruddy Edwin.
My son, Edwin?
Yes. He said he'd seen a burglar in the grounds.
Burglar? Jeeves.
My lord.
Did you post that letter?
Yes.
Good God! Now, who the devil is this?
Hi! 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 Wake up, everybody! Turn out the guard! I've got a burglar in the potting shed!
Oh. Oh, well done, Boko.
In Tribulations of an Uncle by Marriage, the parts were played as follows. Jeeves, Michael Horden, Bertie Wooster, Richard Briers, Percy Lord Worplesdon, Peter Woodthorpe, Boko Fittleworth, Jonathan Cecil, Edwin the Boy Scout, Denise Briar, Nobby Hopwood, Rosalind Adams, and Stilton Cheesewright, Michael Kilgareth. Joy in the Morning by P.G. Woodhouse was adapted for radio by Chris Miller. The programme was produced by Simon Brett.